World Football at AFCON. Hello, this is World Football at AFCON. Thank you for your company. I'm Maz Faruqi, and in this episode, we're reflecting on the state of play of the six groups in Ivory Coast now that all 24 teams have played two out of three group games. Who is looking best placed to be joining the holders, Senegal? And the surprise package of the tournament so far, Cape Verde in the knockout stages. It still remains very finely poised in Group F with the World Cup semi-finalist Morocco pegged back by DR Congo. That game finishing 1-1, as did the other game in that group on Sunday between Zambia and Tanzania. Zambia with a player sent off at the end of the first half as well. Whilst over in Group E, South Africa are finally up and running at this tournament with a very impressive 4-0 win over Namibia. The former DR Congo captain, Gabriel Sequane, is with me. Gabs, only one place we can start, and I'm sure only one place you want to start as well, that 1-1 draw between Morocco and DR Congo. And let's just remind our listeners that you predicted in our last episode that DR Congo would win this game.
Yeah, and if it was for a missed penalty, I think it could have happened, you know. But yeah, I think I'm happy with the way it worked out in the end, because a point I would have took before the game, but it's just the way the game panned out. You start ruining missed chances.
Yeah, just a reminder how this game played out. Achraf Hakimi putting Morocco ahead very early on. DR Congo then awarded a penalty before half-time, which hit the left post. But DR Congo then did equalise in the second half. And then perhaps with the side that could have gone on and won it with the way that they were playing the momentum in that second half. Talk us through your emotions, Gabs, watching this match. You must have experienced the whole spectrum.
Yeah, I did. You know, first, it was just, I was hoping for the best. And after talking to a few boys in the camp, I was actually looking forward to it because they were so confident and they knew they had to get a result today. So I was very confident. And you would see in the last podcast, I predicted a victory because I genuinely thought that's what would happen. But as the game panned out, made a silly mistake, I would say, for their goal. Good finish, but I think to have a player free in the box, Hakimi, someone of that quality, you don't allow him, you know. And then that seemed to lift us in the second half. Whatever was said at halftime must have worked because we had the momentum. We scored a great goal. And then in the end, we was looking the more likely to score. It became a bit end-to-end like a basketball match, but we were the more likely scorers. And in the end, you take the point and you move on.
The topic of DR Congo's finishing was a subject matter, a talking point before this game. Has it improved? Obviously, yes, they got the equaliser in the second half, but Bakambu not being able to put that penalty away at the end of the first, it does feel perhaps like a missed opportunity, does it?
It does, it does. I mean, we look back and, you know, these big games are always about fine margins. And that, again, was a fine margin. You just think, what if he put that penalty away, would have more momentum and gone on to got more goals, got more confident. But I've got to take my hat off to him, because even though they're missing chances, they're not losing games, you know. And the only thing is we're lacking is to put in chances away. And the minute we do start putting chances away, you'd fancy us to do quite well, because this is a well-fancied Moroccan side. And we went toe-to-toe with them and there wasn't much in it.
I know you spoke to some of the guys, or you've been in contact with some of the players in the DR Congo team after this game. What's their feelings on the performance?
Yeah, I think they were a little bit nervous because they were looking at the other game, you know, so the Zambia-Tunisia game, Tanzania game, sorry. And that, you know, that ended up being like being favourable for us. So I think after seeing that result, I think you can look back and think, you know what, that's a point gained, because it could have easily gone the other way. And so I think they're just looking positive, and you think the next game you would fancy us. I think in the balance of play so far, Zambia game, we were totally dominant, but we just couldn't put the chances away. And then you look to the next game and you think you've got to fancy us now to win that game. So they're looking at themselves. They're in a very strong position.
A word on Morocco. They were ahead so early on, as we say, but then it felt, like you said there, they're almost holding on at the end. So much has been said about them being one of the big contenders heading into this tournament because of what they achieved in Qatar in 2022. How do you view their prospects now overall, two games in?
No, I still view it very strong. They're in a strong position. And the reason probably they were happy to hold on is because they've had that win in the first game, you know, so they knew a draw would still have them top of the group. And that was good enough for them. They seem to be a team that very efficient, get the job done in whatever way possible. And I think they could feel the Congolese momentum, probably wanted it more because we needed a win a bit more. And a draw in the end was a good result for them. I think they've had a good day today when they look at the results. That's a perfect day for them. And they'll fancy themselves to get through. But it's different for them now because their favourites, or one of the favourites, fancied to go through in this tournament and to win the tournament. Whereas the World Cup, they weren't favourites. So they had to play on the counter, on the back foot. And being an underdog's a bit easier, but now you have that pressure of having to win games. So it is difficult for them, but they're producing the goods.
Well, let's talk about the standings then in Group F after two games. Morocco top on 4 points. DR Congo are second in that group now, so in that second automatic promotion spot on 2 points. But for much of the Zambia-Tanzania game, as Gabs is saying there, they had dropped down to third spot. That was because of that early goal that put Tanzania ahead from Simon Mzuva. Gabs, Zambia then went down to 10 men before the break as well, as well as being a goal down. Their head coach, Avram Gant, given a yellow card as well. A crazy few minutes in that game, a VAR review as well. Given everything that happened then, the fight back from the 10 men in the second half and that brilliant header from Patson Daka to grab a point in the 88th minute, really impressive.
No, really impressive. And as a Congolese, I celebrated that just as much, you know, just to keep us second in the group. But no, it shows resilience. And Zambia have that. You know, they, like I said, they were outplayed in their last game, but they still held on. They managed to hold on and just show team spirit. And when they went down to 10, I feared the worst for them. But, you know, they still managed to find enough to get a result. And it keeps everyone, you know, still fighting in this group. So this is a very, very tight group, and, you know, it could still go any way as we look at it.
Tanzania were without their coach, Adel Amrucha, as well. He was suspended after he was given that 8-match ban and fined $10,000 by the Confederation of African Football for those remarks he made about the Moroccan Football Federation's influence. Did you sense a little in the second half, perhaps, Gabs, that the Tanzania players were perhaps affected by that lack of having their leader, if you like, on the touchline?
Yeah, I think that's always important, you know. I think it, especially when you take the lead so early on, and then you have the opposition have a man sent off. Usually when you have your leader, as you say, he can keep you on the straight and narrow and call things as he sees it and organise a bit more. And I think they just lack that sort of tactical nous, I think, that the coach has. And they started falling apart a little bit, you know, maybe getting a bit too complacent. When you have someone on top of you every given moment, it keeps you in a, you know, it keeps you going and focused on the job in hand. And I think they lost that little bit of that touch, that tactical side of things. That the coach could have probably made a difference. And it's those far margins.
So the third and fourth spots then in Group F after that 1-1 draw, Zambia third with 2 points, Tanzania bottom with one. In the final round of games in this group, Gabs, your side DR Congo will play Tanzania, Morocco will play Namibia. So tight, as you said. Who do you see, though, getting the two automatic promotion spots?
I would love to just, I think it will stay as it is, you know. I genuinely think, you know, Morocco will go through. And I'd love us to just stay in that second spot because I fancy us against Tanzania, you know. It was an improved performance today from the Zambia one. Even though the Zambia one was a good performance, but the finishing was poor on the day because we had a hatful of chances. And today we took the main chance we had, and there wasn't as many clear-cut chances, but we just looked a little bit more potent today.
Well, elsewhere on Sunday, South Africa put in a really impressive first half display against Namibia to pick up a win, their first points as well of this tournament. Gabs, John Bennett isn't here to defend himself, but our listeners will remember he picked Bafana as his dark horses in Ivory Coast. Are you convinced by that prediction now after that performance by South Africa?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think 4-0 against Namibia, you know, don't shout from the rooftops, but you saw what they've got. You know, we've seen it even in the first game. They play good football. My only issue is when they come up against the fancy teams, and have they got enough to compete against the fancy teams? I think that shows that they're capable. They're capable of scoring goals, and to keep them out at the other end, that's, you know, you've got to give them credit for that. They've got the job done. But still, I think I'm so much against John, and I was fuming when they actually got this victory because I knew John would be grinning. So, but yeah, I've got to take my hat off to him tonight. Yeah, he predicted correctly on tonight's basis.
Well, on to Monday's matches, because there are huge games anywhere you look. Ghana are third in Group B at the moment and only just in one of those four best third place team spots as it stands. Ghana fans have been getting in touch with us all week via WhatsApp voice notes about what's been a frustrating tournament so far for the Black Stars. And a friend of world football at AFCON, George Addo, has also sent us his views on what and how the team are preparing for their third and final group game against Mozambique.
Yes, Mas, I was at the Black Stars Hotel earlier today to gauge the mood ahead of the final group stage game against Mozambique. Very, very interesting comments at the press conference. Coach Chris Hughton is confident that the Black Stars will be able to pick the 3 points and try and qualify for the round of 16. But generally, Ghanaians are very, very worried about the team's performances, even though it was slightly better against Egypt. And many are already having flashbacks of what happened at the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations that took place in Cameroon. It was very much the same sequence, because the Black Stars lost to Morocco by 1-0, drew with Gabon 1-1, and then lost to the Comoros Islands 3-2 in Garoua, and ended up not qualifying for the competition, even though 2 points would have seen us through as one of the third best placed teams. So there is very, very, very little hope. There are a few fans who are believing that the team can go on, but based on the performances, there's not so much optimism going ahead into this game. So it's all up to the Black Stars to try and prove everyone wrong. But the temperature of this competition is such that a lot of top teams, so-called top teams, have been downed by the minnow. So it should be a spectacle. I'll be there to watch it, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, not the most optimistic view from George Addo there. Don't forget, you can send us your thoughts throughout the tournament and questions too. Send us a WhatsApp voice note with your name and where you're from as well to +44 800 032 0470. Gabriel Sequani still with me. Gab's fourth spots for third place teams do provide this lifeline, but teams want to get it done. They don't want to be waiting nervously, do they, to find out their fate until the last round of group games?
Yeah, no one wants to be playing a game and then you've got to get your calculators out after the game to see if you've made it or not. But, you know, we've just spoken about Ghana, and I feel like that could be their best bet. They play Mozambique and you've got to get as many goals as you can, get a strong win, send a message out and hope for the best, because it's not in their hands anymore to get into the top two, you know. So for me, they need to go out and all guns blazing and attack Mozambique and hope for the best. And I think that third spot could still be there. And obviously, they can still get into the second spot, whatever happens in the other game. But I think that is their best bet to get as many goals as they can.
Well, second at the moment in Group B are Egypt. They play already qualified Cape Verde on Monday and are, of course, going to be without the injured Mohamed Salah. He will be watching in the stands, but the Egyptian Football Association has said that their talisman is then going to return to England and his club side Liverpool for treatment then after that match on his leg issue. But he will return to the Ivory Coast if the Egyptian national team qualifies for the semi-finals. Jurgen Klopp also confirmed this news after his side's win in the Premier League on Sunday, Gabs. What do you make of this?
Ooh, there's always tension between clubs and club and country, but I think a player of Mohamed Salah's stature holds a lot more weight, and when he's injured, it affects a lot of different things. You know, it affects Liverpool because he's such a major part of what they need to do to win the title, and obviously Egypt wants to lift the AFCON, and I'm sure Mo Salah wants to lift the AFCON. So there's so many different interests here. But I think, you know, that with him going back to Liverpool, it's because they want him to get the best treatment that he can. And that's probably with the club doctors and the physios that know him personally week in, week out, that work with him. And that can only be good, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It can only be good for the country. So I think that's probably the best case scenario, that he comes back and he gets the treatment that he can get. And hopefully the Egyptians do qualify and go as far as they can for him.
Yeah, the big question, and it is a big question. Do we think Egypt are even going to make the last 16, let alone the last four?
Yeah, this is it. You know, I'm not sure. I've not been convinced by them at all. But I think they need the win, and I think they owe it to Salah as well. Mm. You know, he's been carrying them for so many years, and now I think for him it's a competition. We feel the only thing he's missing really is an AFCON, and I think they can pull together and hopefully do it for him. And, you know, I think with Cape Verde already qualified, we don't know what team they'll put out, what mindset they'll be in. So they've got an opportunity here.
Absolutely. Well, elsewhere on Monday, Group A. In Group A, Equatorial Guinea, top at the moment, play the host Ivory Coast. Nigeria, second at the moment, play Guinea-Bissau, who are already eliminated. Crazy to think that one of the so-called heavyweights could miss out as well. The former DR Congo captain, Gabriel Sekwane, there, back with us for our next episode of World Football AFCON.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.